The story now of the last time the city of Minneapolis had a Republican mayor. It was in the 70s, and that mayor was mayor for one day.
I would say pretty much nobody remembers that Dick Erdahl was mayor ever.
That's Nick Coleman, who was a City Hall reporter for the Minneapolis Tribune back then, when the Star and Tribune were separate papers. Dick Erdahl's tenure as mayor was so unmemorable that his own wife, Barb, couldn't really remember it when we spoke last week.
I don't really remember. It wasn't, you know, that long a time in the day, and it was, I just really am not very much help. We were a little surprised and not looking for it at all.
But here's the story. Dick Erdahl was city council president at the end of 1973. There had just been an election, a big turnover election, in fact. Erdahl and several others had lost re-election, and so had the then mayor, Charles, or Chuck, Stenvig. Everyone was just a few days from leaving office. The new mayor, Al Hofstede, was to take office January 2nd, per the city's charter. But on December 31st, New Year's Eve, Stenvig quit to be named a deputy police chief. With that day, or day and a half or so to spare, the council president, Dick Erdahl, became mayor. Long enough to actually count in the tally, he was Minneapolis's 40th mayor, and there has not been a Republican mayor since. Nick Coleman picks up the story.
I don't think anybody really was hoping or expecting Hofstede to win, and then all of a sudden he did. I covered that race. But Stenvig was always looking out for number one, and he had some pension benefits to enhance, not to mention be a little feather in his cap. He had been the police head of the police union and a very aggressive police union guy, and I'm sure he always wanted to be chief. So he got to be chief for the day, pick up some pension benefits, is what I recall, and Erdahl, as president of the city council, then automatically became mayor for the day. And it was, you know, New Year's Day, so I don't think many people took note of it.
It's interesting. I'm reading your stories from the Tribune back then.
Holy crap, where do you get those?
The Historical Society. I ran over there and went into their library. They got all your stories over there, Nick.
Well, I have them in the basement if you ever have trouble finding one.
Yeah, and the story actually says, you know, Stenvig. And I don't know the story, but it looks like Stenvig had his own fights with the city council.
That is to put it mildly. People forget about Chuck Stenvig. There was an exhibit on him at the university a few years back that I actually wrote a column urging people to go see it because it's almost hard to believe. And not in the new, modern, urban, cool brewpub Minneapolis. They've forgotten Charlie Stenvig, but he was the law and order mayor. He came to prominence against long hair hippies, street crime, law and order guy, and he was pretty much like a Trump before Trump. He was against everything.
And then, again, I read the story, and it's just a minor detail, but it looks like he actually resigned that day early, and then the then police chief named him deputy, but then that police chief's term was going to be up.
And who was the chief at the time? Remind me, the musical merry-go-round is kind of confusing.
Yeah, it's, hold on one second.
Elmer Nordlund?
It was Gordon Johnson.
Oh, Gordy Johnson. Well, all of these people were, you know, the police chief, police administration was just around the corner from the mayor's office in those days on the first floor of City Hall. And the cop administration did not make a move without clearing it with Stenvig, who, as I say, had become sort of the visible leader of the police in Minneapolis, I would say. I mean, even this was before he was elected mayor. Mm-hmm. He was the most prominent cop voice in the city.
And so the story goes, and Chuck Stenberg, by the way, he died back in 2010, just for people listening, but Gordon Johnson appoints Stenberg as deputy, but Gordon Johnson's term was also going to end the next day when Hofstede became mayor. And so the thought was is that until Hofstede could get his new police chief confirmed, Stenberg would be elevated to police chief for a few days. And lo and behold, a few days later, here's a Nick Coleman story talking about how the first order of action by the city council was to approve the police chief because they didn't want Chuck Stenberg to be the chief.
There was, you know, the Stenberg had battled the city council, and at that time, until that election of 1973, it was still controlled by Republicans. It's almost like this was back in the Old Testament days. There was a 7-6 Republican majority, and that flipped with that election to a DFL majority coming in 74. Early 74, but Stenberg battled with both sides, all sides, everybody on the city council. They never got along, and he was as much against the city council as Donald Trump would be against the Democratic Congress.
Hmm. And the flip was from 7-6 Republican to 11-1-1 Democrat, because there was one independent there. So it was this
really
massive...
hard to believe. Yeah, they had some really good. You know what? When I came in as a little Cub reporter from St. Paul. By the way, Stenberg made me, one of the first things he did was he proclaimed, made me an honorary citizen of Minneapolis, as he just couldn't stand the idea that anybody from St. Paul was covering Minneapolis. One of the backstories was the city council, and these were the Republicans, were trying to approve a domed football stadium for downtown Minneapolis, not too far from where Target Field is now. And they had passed that on the city council, but Stenberg got involved in a standoff with the council and wouldn't approve the thing. So by the time he left, by the time his term expired and Erdahl's term and all those guys, they were all at odds with each other. Hmm. Nobody talked to anybody.
Well, and again, this goes back to something you said earlier, Nick. This story is about Dick Erdahl, and we've spent most of it talking about Chuck Stenberg.
It was really about Stenberg. Erdahl was an innocent bystander. I don't recall, but I can imagine his reaction would have been laughing and chortling as he walked down the third floor of City Hall, where the city council offices are, because he would have just been, my God.
Well, and he actually gets, if you're going to trivia night tonight for people listening, he was the last Republican to be mayor of Minneapolis because...
He was about the last Republican living in Minneapolis. There aren't many left. But, yeah, and I mean, really seriously, I would recommend that people kind of go back and understand the era. There was a lot of ugly things going on in the city. There was definitely some racial animosity on the part of, I would say, a lot of Stenberg supporters that brought him in to office. They really disliked hippies and students and Democrats, and it was a very different city in a very different time, and Stenberg was at war with the media. He used to always say the Minneapolis Star and Tribune were separate papers then. He would always say, you know what Star spelled backwards is. and colorful character. And the Minneapolis of today doesn't bear much resemblance.
A couple thoughts here on why no one really remembers this story. These are just theories. But first, this happened all over the New Year's holiday. We had other things to care about. And the other thing, just a few days before this happened...
Now there are 10 seconds left. And the Cowboys say, no, that's it. And the Vikings are the champions of the National Football Conference.
The Vikings had beaten the Cowboys to win the NFC and clinch their second trip to the Super Bowl. Minnesota had Super Bowl fever. And we were still a few days from losing the game, so the feeling was still electric.
then a lead.
Dick Erdahl is still alive, by the way. He's 84, though Barb noted last week he's been sick lately and he was not able to talk. The two have been married more than 50 years. Dick was a football coach way back when and coached Barb's two brothers. That's how they met. He was an attorney by day and got into politics. He ran for city council. And then one day, well, you just heard the story.
He's a very dedicated person, and he's been interested in government since he was a young person. And he's just very compassionate and works very hard to, you know, be helpful.
He was the city council. You didn't do anything on the city council without Dick Erdahl's approval, and he was not what you would think of as, you know, Republicans sort of have a reputation today for being against a lot of things, especially if you know, building and construction. But these were very progressive Republicans, and Dick Erdahl was too. And they came from a long tradition of conservative leaders of the city who were in favor of building a bigger, better, and more modern city, and they brought those ideas to the council. Erdahl was very well-respected and very powerful and very well-connected, so he deserved to be mayor, and for more than one day.
That's Nick Coleman, who was a City Hall reporter for the Minneapolis Tribune back then, covering the Erdahl years, or I should say the Erdahl day. You also heard from Barb Erdahl in that story. Well, be sure to tune in tonight at 9 o'clock here on NPR News. I'll be hosting an election night special. We'll be getting returns in. We'll be talking about ranked choice voting, all the races for mayor and city council and school board across the state, all the referenda on the ballot. So tune in tonight at 9 o'clock here, live coverage on NPR News.